I definitely thank the Lord for the mind that Jesus has blessed of those that have been coming with. And we trust the Lord will continue to touch their hearts and their minds to go on with what the Lord is striving to do in their lives. Jesus' desire is that men experience the new birth. For what reason? It's so that you can enter into the kingdom of God. If you look at the front of your bulletin in chapter number 3 of John, verse number 7, he tells Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." You must be born again. It's not an option. It's a must. Now, you may have heard me give the illustration on the two keys. Jesus tells Nicodemus that except or unless a man is born of both water and spirit, that he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The first thing that he tells him, he has to be born again. If he's not born again, he can't see it. Then the second part that he says, you must be born again, or except unless you are born again, he tells him, except unless a man is born of both what? Water and spirit. So you see, those two keys are the only thing that unlock that door to entering into the kingdom of God, or up under the dominion of righteousness. Up under the dominion of righteousness. Now, according to the scripture, we come into the world in the state or the condition of sin. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12. "Wherefore, as by one man," that one man is Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All of us come into the earth in that state or in that condition. And if we don't do anything about that, you cannot just go to church, you just can't read your Bible, you just can't sing a song to get sin off of you. Jesus tells Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, according to the world standard, would have been viewed as a righteous man. All he did was study the law and do all of these other many different things that one writer went through and explained the deeds of the Pharisees. Said they pay tithes, they wear their garments down to their heels, they give alms, they pray. But the problem was they didn't deal with sin. And that's a truth that is in the earth yet today. Many people do lots of things, lots of nice things, to try to override that fact in their life. They'll go to church, they'll carry their Bibles, they'll pray, they'll sing, some even get up and start preaching. But they don't take care of the problem of sin. Sin just doesn't go anywhere. You have to do something with it. You have to do something with it. If you don't do anything with sin, sin is going to do something with you. As we said on, I believe it was on last Sunday, it has a desire to do what? Kill you. It has a desire to kill you. When it is finished, it's going to bring death. So the goal is to get out of sin before sin accomplishes its goal with you. All right? Now, if you jump over to the book of Luke, the book of Luke, chapter number 24. And starting at verse number 46. Through 48 or 49, actually. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins," both of them, "repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, this is where we're going over in our Bible study lessons, helping us to better understand the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Joel prophesied the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and it was fulfilled in the book of Acts, or the book that records the actions of those that followed Jesus. And in that book of Acts, in chapter number 1, He told them to go and tarry or go and wait until you are endued with power from on high. That's what he says here in Luke. But Acts writes it this way. You all stay there in Luke. I'm going to go over to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1 in verse number 4. You all stay in Luke. Acts 1 and 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Now you see over in Luke, he says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. That's Luke 24:47, beginning at Jerusalem. So he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. But wait. Now in verse number 49, you're going to see that word wait written another way, the word tarry. Verse number 49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. That word tarry again means to do what? Wait. And again, this instruction to wait was a command. Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. You've heard of me about the promise. Now in Luke, what is that? That promise is identified. He says, you wait until you be endued with power from on high. Right? Not power from the earth, but power from on high. Now let's go over to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14 and starting at verse number 7. Mm-hmm. Now, just so you understand, chapter number 14 is where Jesus lets the disciples know that he is going to be leaving them. But he tells them to not let their hearts be troubled because of his departure. And this is important to understand its relation with what we already read in Luke and in the book of Acts. And they were going to see Jesus in the book of Acts leave the earth. Remember, a cloud received him up out of their sight. And here, Jesus is preparing them for his departure. In chapter number 14, verse number 1, he tell them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, right? So when Jesus left the earth, he was telling them the reason why he was going. He was going to prepare a place for you, right? For me, for all of those that do what? Follow him. Not the world, not the world. Only for those that do what? Follow him. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Right? Yes. Now, there's no mystery as to why he told Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Right. He was preparing Nicodemus for his coming. Right. Right? So the new birth prepares us for the coming of Jesus. You can't deviate from that. You can't deviate from the new birth because it affects what you see and it affects where you go. Right? Without the new birth, you can't see the kingdom of God. Without the new birth, you can't enter into it. It's important to be born again because it affects what you see and it also affects where you go. Right? Now, we can't anticipate the coming of Jesus without being born again. We ain't looking for Jesus to come if we haven't been born again. We'll busy ourselves with everything else. Everything else will be more important, but getting ready for the coming of Jesus. It takes the new birth. It takes you being born again for you to be anticipating the coming of Jesus. All right. Now, even in John chapter number 14, he says, he tells them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Right. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right. And Thomas asked him a question, Lord, We don't know where you're going, right? And how can we know unless you tell us the way? He identifies himself as the way. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, right? And he says, no man can come to the Father except he come by me. And then Philip says, verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known the Father also. Yes. And that's something. Now, Jesus is revealing himself. This is how we know you can't be saved until you first identify who Jesus is. You got to know who Jesus is. That's the first step in your repentance. You got to know that Jesus is God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Believe that he is. Who is he? That he is the Father. That Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. When you've seen Jesus, he's not a representation of God. He is not a representation. He's not an offspring of God. He is God himself. He's always been God. From the very beginning, he's always been God. You say, well, in Genesis, it didn't give us his name. He did not reveal the name. Even when man asked for the name, God did not reveal the name. He revealed unto them, I am that I am have sent you. Or the self-existent one. Know that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac. He says, that's who I am. I'm the one that hears the cries of the people. I'm the one that come down and meet their needs. I'm the one that supplies everything that man receives. He says, I am that I am. Now, from that revelation, Moses called him Jehovah, not God. God did not call himself Jehovah. He called himself I am. Moses called himself Jehovah, meaning the self-existent one, or the Lord, the Adonai, the master, the ruler, right? But God did not call himself Jehovah. He called himself I am. And on that, based on that revelation, that's why they kept building on that. Jehovah is peace. Jehovah is righteousness. Jehovah is our banner. Jehovah is our healer. But really, what were they saying? The self-existent one. The one that doesn't depend on anybody to exist. The one that was before we even were thought of. He was from the beginning. He is going to be in the end. The self-existent one, the I am. Right? Now, that I am revealed himself in the New Testament. How did he reveal himself? He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? Don't you know, he said, from this day forward. Verse number 7. Read verse number 7 again.
If you had known me, you should have known my Father.
That's right. That's right. Earlier part in this scripture, he said, you already searched those scriptures. You already been investigating and examining that Old Testament. You've been looking through it all along, and you think you have life. Because you can quote a couple of scriptures, huh? Because you live by a couple of the laws. But he says, you won't come to me. You reject me. And I'm the one that's giving you life. You talk about you accept Moses' writing. You're trying to separate Jesus from Moses' writing. He said, but little do you know Moses wrote about me. When you're reading Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, it is talking about Jesus. We are able to put Jesus' name in Genesis 1:1, and we're not taking nothing away from the scriptures. We're putting the scriptures in the appropriate authority. We're giving Jesus his due right, his due authority, his due supremacy. He is the Almighty God, right? He is the Almighty God. And if we're going to come to him, we got to believe that he is. Right? You're not calling on, you know, again, some just random name. You're calling on the name that is salvation. No other name can save you but the name of Jesus. And we ought to understand that it is not a mysterious thing for the earth to be in the condition that it is in right now. You have so many quote unquote households of faith that do not preach the name, that do not encourage people to exalt the name. They talk about it, they sing about it, but then when it comes down time for people to put faith in action, they back up off of it. They back up off of it. And we already know that this is not a great mystery. We know that this follows Satan's plan. Satan knows it takes two keys to get that door locked. Not one. Not one. It takes two keys to get that door locked. You say, well, I've been down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. I know I need that name to wash away my sin. But you only got one lock unlocked. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost comes through the name. The Holy Ghost comes through the name. You can't get salvation any other kind of way. No one but the enemy would tell you to try to come up with another way to be saved other than the name. Right? Come on, there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given to the man that needs to be saved but that name of Jesus. That's truth. That's true. Come on. Where are we at? In John chapter number 14 and 7? Yes. You know him. Isn't that something? They say, Jesus said, you know the Father. And you don't just know him, you've seen him. Isn't that something? That invisible God. That invisible God became visible in the face of Jesus. You can't see God without seeing Jesus. If you're looking for another God, you'll never see him. Because the only way you're going to see the one true God, you've got to look in the face of Jesus. He described it this way in chapter number 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. It was just like the light shining in darkness, and darkness was not able to comprehend it. He made himself known. He made himself known, and the world did not want him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on the name. You can't get by the name, right? You need the name to be this child, right? You can't be the child of Jesus without the name of Jesus. He don't claim ownership on you. You say, well, this God, I went down in the water in the name. That's good. But you've only got one key unlocked. It takes two keys. It takes two keys to see it and enter into it. Nobody but the devil would make you be ashamed of the name. Nobody but the devil would make you say, I got to call on someone else. I got to say something else in my prayer life. When the Lord gave you all the authority that you need over the works of the flesh, he put it in the name of Jesus. Everything we need is in his name, right? That's right. Everything we need is in his name. Come on. He said, you've seen him. What is verse number 7 say again? You know him. In other words, you got knowledge of him. I done been down on earth teaching and showing. Not just teaching, but teaching and showing. Every witness, after they came in contact with Jesus, they had to know that he had to be special. He had to be special. Nobody can multiply food. Nobody can change water into wine. Nobody can give sight to the blind. Nobody can allow the lame to walk. Nobody can allow those that could not hear to hear. Nobody could bring the dead back to life. Not one time, but multiple times. He brought the dead back to life. That's why he says, I'm the resurrection. In other words, I'm the one that brings the dead back to life. If anybody want to live, they got to come through Jesus. Every dead area of your life, only you can witness about that. Every non-productive, every area of your life that don't seem to want to grow, that's why we tell you, bring that thing under subjection to the name of life. The name of life is the name of Jesus.
His name is resurrecting power. That's why he can tell you to go down in the water in his name and come up walking in the newness. You can't do that unless you come through the name, right? You can't do that unless you come through the name. That's why he tell you whosoever shall call on his name, huh? They shall be saved. They shall be delivered, huh? Come on. Now only you can say, I need to be delivered. Only you can be honest with yourself and say, I need sin not to have an effect on me. Huh? I need sin to lose its effect. I need sin to lose its influence. Huh? Its control, its dominion over my mind, over my life's behaviors, over the habitual things that I get myself involved in. I need Jesus to loose sin's grip. That's why you need the name. That's why you can't get through this thing called life without invoking the name of Jesus. You've got to constantly call on his name to deliver you, right? Not from that sin of the old, sin of your current, sin of your future. You need the name to deliver you from all of that. That's why we constantly are calling on his name. You're constantly being encouraged to call on his name. You're constantly being reminded that anything you want out of the heaven, you got to ask. Huh? Come on. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You can't get anything from Jesus unless you desire this thing. Huh? Come on. You got to desire it. You have to desire to be born again. You have to desire to realize that the life that you are now living is not fit to go back with a righteous God. You have to say that within yourself. And the only way you can come to that understanding, you've got to sit submissively up under the preaching of the name. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. You got to submit. And so you have to sit submissively. Huh? You can't go telling Jesus all you know. You got to sit submissively up under the preaching of the name. Why? Because the preaching of the name will bring repentance out of you. Huh? You know what repentance means? Repentance means you stop wrong. You can't come to the mind to stop what you're doing that is wrong unless Jesus shows it to you. You need to hear his name all the time. You need to hear the name all the time to remind you of who you are and how much you need Jesus. Without Jesus, you will never be right. You'll never meet the Lord's expectation. You will always be coming up short. All of your righteousness is as a filthy rag, right? In his eyesight, there's none righteous. You need that name constantly preached to you. Huh? You say, Elder Scudder, why don't you go into other stories of the Bible? Bible is full of stuff. It's full of information. Huh? But those that are born in sin, they only need one message. And that message is the name. Huh? Church is here to preach the name of Jesus. Huh? Church is here to exalt the name of Jesus. Not just in word, but also in deed. All of our songs got to be centered on the name. All of our Bible lessons got to be centered on the name. All of our messages have to be centered on the name. Why? Because the Lord wants you to repent. The Lord wants you to stop all of your wrong. Lord wants you to bring that life of sin to an end. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. Lord wants to make you a new creature. Huh? He wants that old stuff to be passed away. He doesn't want it to be on your resume no more. He wants all of that old stuff to be passed away. He wants you to be a new creature. And the only way that can happen is you've got to be born again. You've got to have a new birth in order to see it, in order for you to enter into it. You need to be born again. New birth starts with you understanding that Jesus is God. There's not another God. Jesus is God. You don't have to say, I thank God. All you got to do is say, I thank Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God, right? That's right. God gave himself a name. Everybody understand that? God gave himself a name which is above, huh? Not below, not equal with, it's above every name, huh? I know it may sound sophisticated for you to say Allah. It may sound sophisticated for you to say El Shaddai. It may sound sophisticated for you to say Yahweh. It may sound sophisticated for you to say Jehovah. But that name is not equal with the name of Jesus. There's only one name given by God himself to save you from sin, and that's the name of Jesus. At that name, every knee, not some knees, every knee shall bow, right? Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his sheep. We his people. The sheep of his pasture, right? We ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thank him for what? Thank him for your understanding. Thank him for your knowledge. Thank him for the privilege. Thank him for the honor to be here. Thank him for who he is, right? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with what? Praise. Be thankful unto him. Not be thankful unto them. Be thankful unto him. Only one God. Everybody understand that? Only one God. And that one God gave one name. That one name is Jesus. Huh? When you see Jesus, you see God. Huh? You can't see God without seeing Jesus. Huh? He is the image of the invisible God. Huh? Salvation is in his name. Huh? Salvation is in his name. When the Lord tell you to seek him, he's talking about seek Jesus. Huh? When the Lord say, call ye upon him, he's talking about call on Jesus. Huh? When he's talking about his name is a refuge, he's talking about the name of Jesus is a refuge. It's an escape out of this mess, right?
We talk about his name heals.
Huh? Talking about the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus heals. Huh? Talking about his name is, his name regulates. His name, it regulates the mind. Huh? Well, you talking about that name of Jesus. It regulates the mind. Your mind will stay unstable. If it don't got no name of Jesus, your mind will stay unstable. You'll be tossing from one feeling to the next, one thought to the next. Huh? But you need the Lord to calm your water. You need the Lord to pacify your tongue. Huh? Take that that swift talk, that fast, slick talk. You need the Lord to shut your mouth. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. You need the Lord to teach you how to keep your mouth shut. Huh? Didn't he tell you to do that when you come into his house? To be careful about the vows that you make. Huh? And you have to keep your mouth silent. Huh? You have to be quiet, in other words. In other words, be more swift to hear. Huh? Than to make vows or promises that you're not willing to keep. You got to change your mind. In order for you to vow anything, you got to know who you're making a promise to, right? You're making your promise to the Lord Jesus. You're not promising me. You're not promising me when you come down here and sit in those chairs. You're not making a promise to me. You're making your vow to the Lord Jesus. Like when someone says, why don't you put those chairs there? I have to wait for the Lord to give me a mind. Because I realize when you make this kind of a change, you better be serious. Why? Because your life will never be the same. Huh? You come down here and bow before Jesus, and you're not serious about that thing, your life will never be, it'll be the worst thing you ever done. It'll be the worst thing you've ever done.
Thank you.
So you better think twice before you say, Lord Jesus, I want this. Huh? Lord Jesus, I really want to be saved. You better know what it is you're saying. When you're talking about that you want the Lord to save you, you're saying that you want the Lord to change your life. Not some of it. You want the Lord to change your life completely. You're saying, Lord, the life that I live is no good. The life that that I live is no good. It's not acceptable unto you, right? And I want you to change me. Huh? That's why we tell you to bring that stuff to Jesus. You want Jesus to change you. You want Jesus to bring the repentance? You want Jesus to be the one to remove the sin from you? Huh? You don't want to go behind some door and some little screen and be making all of your telling all the people your problems. You want to be able to go to the throne of grace. Huh? You want to go to the throne of grace and get some mercy. Huh? Come on, that's why we get on our knees and cry to the Lord. You're not crying out to the Lord for me. Don't you think you're down there because I'm just trying to make Elder Scudder happy. I can't put you in. I don't have no special pass to get you in. Jesus said you got to be born above water and spirit. You got to make your petitions known to Jesus. You got to realize I'm on my knees crying out to Jesus because I need Jesus to answer my prayer. Huh? What is your prayer? What is your heart's desire? Huh? You can't say I need another job. I need clothes. I need a home. Lord didn't die on that cross for that. He died on the cross to save you from sin. Huh? To deliver you from sin. That no good thing that is within you, that wicked, contrary nature, that nature that is anti-Christ, huh? Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood to save you from sin, right? Isn't that true? But salvation starts with you first seeing who Jesus is. John 14, verse number 7. What's 14:7 say again? If you had known me. See, it starts off with knowing who Jesus is. You need to know that Jesus is God. You say, well, I thought he was a son. No. Those titles represent something. Huh? Those titles represent the plan of salvation. It opens up your understanding to know that Jesus is the creator. He's the one that spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be, and it was. Huh? That's why we call him Father, because he's the one that's in charge of all of creation. Huh? That's why I can tell you when parts of your life is dead, go to the creator. Go to the creator. Call on his name with the expectation, Lord, you are the creator. What are you talking about? I'm talking about Psalm chapter number 22. Huh? I'm talking about you getting on your knees with the understanding. Psalms chapter number 22. What does Psalm chapter number 22 say? The earth. Is that Psalm 22 or 24? Psalm 24.
The earth is the Lord.
What is that, Psalm 24? The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. He had found, not them, not we, he had founded it. Huh? Who is that he? Jesus. Jesus is the he of Psalm chapter number 24. Jesus is the Lord of Psalm chapter number 24. When it says the earth is the Lord, it belongs to Jesus. This is Jesus' earth. It's not your earth. It's Jesus' earth. It belongs to him, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord pulled you out of this earth. Then he formed Adam from the dust. He pulled you out of this earth. That means he owns you. If the earth is the Lord's and he pulled you out of the earth, that means he owns you. That's why he can stand flat-footed and say, all souls are mine. Huh? I own you. When he said, I'm going to have the desire of the work of my hand. I'm the one that formed you. I'm the one that brought you into existence. You didn't come into existence by yourself. I'm the one that gave you life, right? I lighted every man. I give every man life, right? Nothing can live unless it come by Jesus.
Jesus,
we the ones thinking we're God.
Huh?
Because we do this and do that. And we say we got somebody pregnant. But you didn't do nothing. Huh? He is the one that gives life. Huh? Y'all understand that? He is the one that gives life. You can do that act all your whole life and won't nothing come from it. Why? Because he is the one that gives life. He lighteth every man. Not saying?
Right. Right.
Huh? Yes. And he tells every man that comes into this earth, get born again.
Yes, yes, yes.
Know who I am.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Know who I am.
Know
who I am. Are you talking about? Psalms chapter number 24.
Uh-huh.
The earth is the Lord's,
and
the fullness thereof.
The
world and they that dwell therein. He has founded it
upon the seas
and established it upon the floods.
He
is the one that said to let the dry land appear. He is the one that said, let the dry land be called earth. Y'all understand that? Not Adam. Adam didn't call this earth. Jesus called this earth. He called the seas that were gathered together. He called it seas. The waters be gathered together. He said they shall be called seas. Huh? He has established it. He has founded it, right? Is that scripture?
Yes, it is.
Keep going.
You shall ascend into the hill of the Lord.
Isn't this what you want?
Yes.
I want to go to the hill of the Lord. Can y'all understand that? After the Lord done allowed me to come on this earth, and I realize ain't nothing down here but sin. Sin is all around me. Sin is on my left. Sin is on my right. It's in front of me. It's behind me. It's all around me. It's even crawling through the sewer. Sin is everywhere. Sin is all up in the sky. Sin is everywhere. You can't go nowhere and not feel its effect. It's all around you. You need an escape route. Huh? What do you need? I need to find a hill I can run up to get out of this valley called death. Huh? I need a hill that I can run to get out of the valley of the shadow of death. Huh? Who is the hill? Jesus is the hill. Huh? Jesus says, I got a hill. Huh? Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Right? Not everybody. Not everybody. Only those that got clean hands. Huh? Y'all understand that? If you in your sin, your hands ain't clean. Y'all understand that? If you in your sin, your hands ain't clean. I don't care how you try to dress it up. Your hands ain't clean. As long as sin still got you. Y'all remember that brochure? As long as sin still got you captive, your hands is dirty. Your hands are defiled, right? I don't care how many songs you sing. I don't care how hard you clap your hands. I don't care how much you call on Jesus. Jesus. Lord said, look at the palms of your hands. Huh? But I'm called Jesus. Jesus. Jesus said, stop your clapping and look at your hands. What do you see when you see your hands? Huh? If a fella want to be saved, he got to say, I'm a man of unclean lips. Huh? My hands are dirty. Huh? My hands are defiled. Why? Because I'm yet in sin, right?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yet in sin. You can't come to church enough to get out of sin. You can't read your Bible enough to get out of sin. Only thing that can remit sin is the name. Isn't that beautiful? Only thing that can get sin off of you is the name of Jesus. Huh? That's why you got to learn how to repent in that name. You got to let that name penetrate the hardness of your heart. Huh? You got to let that name break down the scales of your eyes. Huh? Come on. That name has got to be a hammer. Huh? That name has got to be a chisel. And you got to keep on invoking that name until sin loses its grip. Until sin loses its control over your life. In other words, so you no longer desire to do this stuff no more. You got to keep on calling on that name. Huh? Till you desire the hill of the Lord. Huh? See, I thank Jesus. I desire the hill of the Lord. I desire his hill. Huh? I desire to climb up that hill. You know, does it get rough? Amen. It get tough. It get rough. Sometimes I get discouraged. Huh? Sometimes I ain't got enough strength. Sometimes I just got to lay on the hill. Huh? Sometimes I got to lay on the hill and just look up and say, Lord, give me the strength. Huh? I ain't got no mind to go back. I ain't got no mind to go back down the hill. But I got a mind to stay on the hill and keep on climbing. Huh? Come on, he done told you, don't you be afraid. Huh? Let not your heart be troubled. Well, he told you, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, right? Huh? Get on that hill. Get on that hill and climb up that hill. I was talking with my wife the other day. She said, it ain't nothing wrong with the message. The message will convict the best of us. The message will bring the best of us to our knees. But it's the follow through. Huh? It's the follow through. It's that day-to-day thing. You got to understand when you talk about you want to be saved, this is a day-to-day thing. This ain't a momentary thing. This is something you say, Lord, change my life. Huh? Change everything about me. Huh? Affect my habits, right? Affect my talk. Affect where I go at. Where I lay my head at night. Affect everything about me. Huh? Everything, not some. You can't cherry pick. You want the Lord to make everything about you new. Huh? Amen, Lord Jesus. You want the Lord to make everything about you new.
Oh, thank you.
He changes your attitude. He regulates your emotions. If you're not careful, them emotions will get the best of you. You'll be all over the place. If you're not careful, you'll be like the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled sea. Not the righteous, the wicked are like that. Lord should have calmed your waters. He should have spoke to the storms of your life. Huh? He may not necessarily stop the storm, but he should have spoke to it and allowed you to go right on through it. Huh? Calmly. Huh? Calmly. That's right. Calmly. Knowing that Jesus is on the ship. Huh? Say that. Why are you all over the place? Because Jesus ain't on your ship. Huh? You know you look over your life, ain't no Jesus there. Jesus is not on the ship, right? And you need to seek him till he get on there. You need to keep crying out to him till he gets on board. Is that the truth? Amen. You need to seek the Lord till he gets on board. You need to keep crying out to him. Letting him know, Lord, I can't navigate through this thing called life without you being on my ship. Huh? And I'm not talking about down below. I need you on the navigation. I need you to be on the wheel, right? Holy Ghost is Christ on the wheel. That's the truth. Leading you and guiding you. Huh? Come on, is that the truth? You need to ask the Lord. You need to say, Lord, I want to be on your hill. I don't want to be on the popular hill. I don't want to be on the hill with the crowd. I want to be on the hill of the Lord. Huh? Who shall ascend until the hill of the Lord? He that have, who shall stand in his holy place? He that have clean hands. Huh? Come on, y'all understand that? Huh? That's what I'm trying to tell you. You can't fake this stuff with Jesus. You can do a whole lot of saying, I'm dirty, Lord, I'm dirty. But the Lord said, all right. But now we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. I'm going all the way on the inside of you. Huh? Where you going at, Jesus? I'm going to your heart. Huh? Your heart got to be pure. Huh? You got to have the right motives, right? Huh? Don't you know your heart is deceitful? It's desperately wicked? Huh? Who can know it? Lord said, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins. I'm going to put you to the test. Huh? I'm allowing certain things to come upon you to see just what you're going to do, to see just how you're going to behave yourself. See, you can talk that stuff all day long. I want to be saved. I want to live for you. Lord, I'm going to let certain things come upon you to see how you behave yourself, right? Huh? And then you ain't showing me. You're showing Jesus. You can't run to me and say, oh, Elscott, I was here. I ain't got nothing to do with that, but I'm beautiful. What did you get when you got there? Huh? What did you get when you got there? Well, I was waiting on you. See, that's your problem. You should have been going because you want to please Jesus. Huh? Because you want to be in his presence. Huh? Not the presence of Elder Scudder. You want to be in the Lord's presence. I'm trying to tell you how this thing works. This thing will work in such a way. I've had witnesses of people being in here praying by themselves. You can't do that without no Holy Ghost. You can't do that without no desire. And you'll be too busy worrying about it. Ain't nobody in here with me. But why are you here? What is your purpose? What is your reason? What is your motive? He says, I'm the one that searched the heart.
Yes, he does.
I try the race. I'm looking for what kind of a heart? A pure heart. Huh? Is that what the scripture says? He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vain things. Huh? You so worried about the clothes you wear, the name tag, huh? The money in the bank. You can't lift your soul up to vain things, right? You can't do that. You can't do that. Lord knows it. Or say, I just want to look good. I just want to have my hair done. Those are vain things. Everybody understand that? Those are vain things. So I can't get down on my knees because somebody may see I got holes on the bottom of my shoes. Those are vain things. I can't lift up my arms because somebody may see the hole up under my... Those are vain things. Huh? You can't worry about that stuff. Not when you're trying to be saved. When you're trying to be saved, you stretch out. Huh? You say, Lord, here I am. Huh? Take, there's no good thing. Huh? And deliver me, right? Deliver me from this body of death. He that have clean hands, pure heart, who not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn. Didn't I just tell y'all that? That's that oath. That's that vow. He said, don't swear what? Deceitfully. Huh? Huh? Is that the truth? That's what they, so who did I make my promise to? That's right. That's why you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Don't let the devil get in your mind. Devil will get in your mind and make you say, well, I can't come no more. I guess this ain't the place for me. But you're forgetting. You didn't make your vow to me. You made your promise to the Lord Jesus. Huh? Y'all understand that? This is between you and him. This is your relationship with Jesus. Now, if you tell him it's not important, who am I? Who am I? That's between you and the Lord. Huh? People say, well, Scott, you ain't going to go chase behind such and such. No. I'm not going to chase behind you. I'll help you if you want to be helped. And I've already proven that to you. I've proven that to you. I've shown you over and over again. I'll come get you wherever you are at in this city. Huh? But at the minute you say, Elder Scudder, then you say, I ain't going to call you. Don't come get me because I ain't call you, and don't come get me until I call you. Amen. Because at the end of the day, that's your relationship with you and Jesus. One thing I know, the Lord is not mocked. Y'all understand that? God is not mocked. Jesus done told me they're not rejecting you, Stephen. Because you ain't saved them. I'm the one that stretched out my hand toward them. They were none of my reproof received, right? I'm going to let their worst fear come on them. I'm going to laugh at them in their calamitous state. Huh? That's true. That's what the Lord's... I didn't say that. That's what the Lord's word said. It may not be happening right now, but as long as you're still on the earth, Lord's word will not return into him void. It's going to accomplish what he say for it to accomplish. And when it starts to hit, huh? When it starts to hit, then you want to start crying out to the Lord. And you want to wonder why he has turned a deaf ear to you. Huh? Why? Because he said, I done shut the door of salvation on you. I told you to seek me while I may be found. I told you to call upon me while I'm near. Huh? Come on, saints. This salvation ain't forever. It's got a momentary time in your life, right? You got but for a moment to seek the Lord. And you got to earnestly want this. You got to do that. You got to seek after Jesus with your whole heart and your whole mind. If you want this, you can't treat the Lord as though he means nothing. Why? Because all of it belongs to him. Don't make him prove himself to you. You are nothing Y'all understand that? What is your life? Your life ain't nothing but a vapor. It's here today and gone today, right? He knows how to just take, he knows how to snatch the breath. He give it to you. He know how to snatch the breath right out of your lungs. And ain't nothing nobody can do for you. Huh? I don't care how much medicine they put in you. Ain't nothing nobody can do for you. Lord done told you when I call, you are going to answer. Huh? And I'm going to have a desire for the work of my hand. Huh? Isn't that the truth? Come on. Everybody's got to get to that point in life. Huh? Where they have an understanding that Jesus is God. Huh? Come on, everybody understand that? He didn't become God. He's always been God. This is his earth.
Yes, it is.
You belong to Jesus. Huh? What does the Lord want of you? He wants you to have clean hands. He wants you to have a pure heart. He doesn't want your soul to be lifted up into vain things. Say, Elder Scudder, why y'all don't have all these banquets? It's vanity. Huh? Dressing up and all that, it's vanity. That means nothing. It has nothing to do with your soul. Y'all realize you can get married in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt? If you understand what you're doing. Huh? You think, say, well, I don't have to come down in a nice white. No, you don't. You got to understand what you are doing. Huh? What is the most important thing? And it ain't the suit. It ain't the clothes. It ain't where you at. The most important thing is for you to understand the vow. Huh? You're not making a vow to man, but to Jesus. This is an oath. Huh? This is an oath that you're making with between you and who? I don't have the right. You can come ask me, say, what do you think? I don't have the right to go against what Jesus has established. And I say, Elder Scudder, what are you talking about? Well, I'm trying to help you to understand. You made that vow between you and Jesus. But let Elder Scudder, open up my understanding a little bit. When you're in sin, you're free from righteousness. Help me to understand that. Huh? You know, you can go around talking about you married. And you've been married for 50 years, 60 years, but you're still in sin.
Yes.
You're free from righteousness.
Yes.
You and your 60-year marriage are going to lift up your eyes in hell.
Right.
You're going to the same hell that somebody that's been married and divorced 80 times. Yes. Out of sight, that ain't fair. Yes, it is.
Yes.
He told you before you got started, right. The wage of sin is death. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Huh? But now, when the Lord have declared you righteous because you completed the new birth, huh? You're now free from sin. Huh? Huh? Now it behooves you to fulfill all righteousness. Huh? To walk upright and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, right? I want y'all to understand that. See, a lot of promises we made in sin, and we're trying to hold on to those problems. I'm not knocking the marriages or whatever, but I'm trying to tell you, you're free from righteousness. I don't care how much, this is the flaw of that other doctrine where a fella's out there preaching that these people that have been in sin all their lives and then had three or four wives, and then they come over and try to get born again. He tell them, you got to go back and get your first wife. You don't have scripture to support you on that. Scripture don't tell you this. It's going to tell you to leave your fourth wife to go get the first wife. You ain't got no scripture to support you doing that. What do the scripture say? Those that are in sin are free from righteousness. They don't have that banner over them. The wage of sin is over top of their head. I don't care how much right they do. The wage of sin is still over top of their head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you to understand that. But then when you get yourself saved, huh? You get the new birth. That's something different.
Yeah.
That's something different. You say, well, Elder Scudder, I wasn't born again last year, and me and my wife got divorced last year. But now I got myself saved. You say, well, what should I do? I don't know. What should you do? should you do? Huh? Well, I divorced her, and she don't want me no more. There go your answer right there. She don't want you no more. You can't make somebody want you that don't want you. At the end of the day, you got yourself saved. She didn't get saved. Huh? You better walk in the newness of life. Huh? Well, I done found somebody else that liked me, and she done got herself saved. Okay. Amen. Huh?
Yes.
Huh? Well, what should I do? I don't know. What should you do? Huh? Well, I don't want to sin. No, you do not want to sin. Huh? Lord gave you something to do. Huh? For those that love one another, he gave you something to do. But I can't get married and let, because the other one that I divorced over there, she's still over there waiting for me. No, she's not waiting for you. If she wanted you, she would have came over there where you at. Huh? Got herself born again. According to the scripture. Huh? And then the two of you would have come to an understanding that divorce was not for us. Huh? Then you're going to make your vow over in righteousness. And that's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
Then you got scriptures that are written to you that are up under the banner of what? Righteousness. But you just can't go and run and pick and just throw a whole bunch of scriptures and throw them with these scriptures. Say, no, you can't do this. Scripture can't do this. But this person is in sin. Huh? You just bypassing all of the need for the new birth as though it means nothing. You realize you can't live holy without being born again. Y'all realize that? I don't care how many years. Do y'all know people that have been married for 50 years in sin? Don't think that those marriages were perfect. They didn't have the power to live that way. Oh, you talk. I'm trying to tell you. I don't care who they were. They did not have the power to live right. So yes, they stepped out of their marriage. Yes, they looked at people they shouldn't have been looking at. Yes, they did stuff they should not have been doing. But they stayed together. That means nothing. You still die in your sin. That's why Jesus emphasizes the new birth. You can't enter into it. You can't see it. You can't live it. You're powerless. You're powerless to live this life without being born again. You can talk right. You can do a whole lot of talking. Got to do it this way. Got to do it that way. Got to do it this way. Can't say this. Can't say it. You're powerless to live that life without the new birth. It takes the Holy Ghost. Y'all, do everybody understand that? It takes the Holy Ghost to live right. You know, we had that the workshop on honorable marriage. That thing sounded real sweet. But then the reality kicked in. Reality is the honesty of someone kicked in. Say, I need you to give me something concrete. Well, the concrete thing is you need to be born again. Everything that I'm telling you that looks so good, you can't live it until you're born again. Does that make sense? All you're doing is spinning oil and water. That's all you're doing. All you're doing. But then once stuff settles, you're going to realize y'all have nothing in common. Huh? Huh? You have nothing in common because both of you are still in what? Now, that's something. If somebody got a mind and want to be saved, you definitely on two different sides of the pole, totem pole.
Yeah.
Here you got your mind on Jesus, and they still stuck in sin.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And what y'all are like pulling, you know, tug of war.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Huh? It's tug of war. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Tug of war, because you're saying, come on, we got to do right. Another person, I don't want to do right. Sometimes they look like they want to go along with it.
Right.
And then you think, oh, we're making that. They snatch it right back.
Yeah.
Huh? You say, what happened? You're on two different sides of the spectrum. They ain't got no mind to do it. That's why Jesus knew what he was talking about, saying, can two walk together except they do what? You can't do it. It's mission impossible. You always are going to be at one another's throat because you got two different objectives, two different purposes. Huh? But we say, Elder Scudder, what about if the unbelieving don't want to leave? The scripture says talking to the person. If the person that is sanctified got a spouse that want to stay with them, the righteous thing for me to do is to honor that.
Yeah.
Stay with me.
Yeah.
Huh? Stay with me until they say, I don't want to be bothered with you no more. Huh?
Yeah.
Then who broke the vow? Not me. That's why you got to keep on asking them every now and then. Are you sure this is what you want? Because I'm on the hill of the Lord. And I ain't going nowhere. Huh? We going to do what is right. Huh? You ain't going to mess up my hands by your ungodly ways. Huh? You're not going to get me caught up in your vain ways. Huh? Because you don't want to pay your tithes.
Because
you don't want to serve the Lord like we're supposed to. You're not going to get me caught up in your vain ways.
Amen.
When the judgment starts to come, and you wonder why the Lord is still blessing me, because I'm on the right side of the spectrum, and you all the way over here. Huh? And the Lord is beaten. Amen. See, that's what happens when you got the two differences. You best believe the Lord is going to fight your battle. Huh? Lord ain't going to let the righteous suffer.
That's it.
Y'all understand?
That's
why I can tell you flat footed, just pray.
All right.
Pray the Lord to break that yoke.
Yeah.
Huh? That'll make that stubborn. You'll hear Pharaoh speak. Huh? Pharaoh will get a tongue and speak. Huh? Pharaoh will say, I am not going nowhere. That's why you got to go right back to Jesus again. Say, Jesus, behold the threatening, right?
Thank you.
This is a hindrance to me. I'm trying to live right, right? Trying to walk up right before you. Trying to bring my household under subjection to righteousness. Huh? That's what I'm telling you. The best thing you can do is pray. Don't go do like they do. Because they under the banner of sin. They free from righteousness. You looking for them to do right when they ain't got it in them. Huh? Elder Scott, it's just not fair. No, it ain't fair. Ain't nothing about sin fair. Sin is what it is. Huh? It's not righteousness. They don't have the right. They don't have a mind to want to do right. Huh? That's why you got to pray for them to get born again. See, the solution is they have to be what? Born again. You can't cut no corners with it. I'm sorry, you can't. You can't cut no corners with it. They have to be born again. They don't have Jesus. They don't have no life. They don't have the authority or the power to live. You know all that stuff that you see on the inside of my... I'm going to get to it eventually. Not today because it's time to get ready to start. Y'all see all this stuff on the right side of your bulletin about the objective of the new birth is overcoming power? See, that's why you need the Holy Ghost so you have power to do what? Overcome. Overcome that lesser, that no good thing that is within you. Will it surface? Yes. But you need the Holy Ghost to bring some reminders to you. What would the Holy Ghost tell you? That's not like me. How are you thinking? That's not the way I want you to think. Huh? Can you override the Holy Ghost? Yes. That was good to talk about when you were talking about quenching the Spirit. That's because the Spirit is letting you know you shouldn't be doing this. He said, well, I'm going to just do it anyway. Well, hey, go right on with yourself. You're a big old bad self. And then when you make a mess of it, then you're going to come crying, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus said, don't you ask me to help you. You bought yourself into that mess. And you just got to go through it. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, that's the truth. You ain't never charged up a credit card you shouldn't have charged up. You can go run and ask somebody to help bail me out of my debt. Lord looking at you and telling you, no. You brought that debt on you. You pay for it yourself.
Right.
But I'm going to have to pay for the interest. You knew that when you signed up for it.
Right.
Nobody made you go out there and charge all that stuff up.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to sacrifice.
Yeah.
Huh? Do without this, do without that, do without this, and pay your debt. I know y'all don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Don't be looking for no government bailouts or nothing. Government said they'll free me from my debt. You turn that one off. That ain't for you. But it's a government program. The government didn't make you charge up all that stuff. You pay what you owe. Right? But it ain't fair. No, it's not fair. What did you learn about your no good thing? I just got out of lifting up my heart on the very thing. Amen. Now, if you want to get on the Lord's hill, you better get out of that line of thinking, right? Because he said he that have what? Clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto what? Vanity. Nor sworn how? He shall receive
the blessing from the Lord.
And what?
Righteousness from the God of his salvation.
That's justification, isn't it? Justification is the process where Jesus declares the sinner righteous. Based upon the sinner's faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How do I show Jesus I believe he died, was buried, and he rose again? Death, meaning I bring an end to sin. Huh? And how do I bring an end to sin? That's why he tell you to repent. Repent means to change your mind. Then it tells you to be baptized, every one of you. Huh? It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not an Asian thing. It's every one of you. All nations, right? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission. That word remission means removal of sin. You don't go down in the water to make a public declaration that you believe in Jesus. That's what most people tell you. Oh, you got to let the public know. You got to let people know that you believe. That's not scripture. Scripture says you do it for the remission. Right?
Yes.
What public is it? Who was the public with the eunuch and Philip?
Okay. Yeah.
The bees? Huh? So they go that whole concept of the public declaration. You go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of, and everybody can't baptize you.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Only those that have been sent by Jesus could do this work.
Right.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Whole lot of folk done went down in that water without the authority.
Right.
But the Lord respects his name. No, he does not. Mm-hmm. Don't you do that on Jesus. That'd be no different than I might as well get the drunk out the bar to take me down in the water then.
Right.
Oh, Elder Scudder, you shouldn't say that. Well, it's the truth.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that drunk and that preacher that's in that robe that Jesus didn't send?
Right.
No difference between them, neither one of them, because the Lord ain't sent neither one of them to preach this gospel.
That's
right. Huh? Does that make sense?
Amen.
That makes sense to me.
Amen.
The Lord has to send you out to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? If it was if anybody could baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus would have told the whole world while he was here preaching on the earth. He would have told everybody, go find someone.
Yeah.
Find someone in the street to take you down in the water. I guess they would have just been baptized and crazy. Which is what you see today, don't you? Huh? I told you during COVID. Fella had somebody on the camera in their own bathtub.
Jesus.
Looking at them while they were in the bathtub. These demons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just trying to tell you. These are pure. I'm trying to tell you how deep this devil is.
Yeah.
They got video cameras, FaceTiming one another on the camera. And the fellas over there, I baptize you now in the water. In the name of Jesus. Just dip yourself down. That's the world we're living in. When folk don't feel like doing it, say, well, we don't have to baptize you. Just get the water hose. Rent the fire truck. Get the water hose. And we're just going to rain the water. Get up under the water. Get up under the water. Get up under the water. In Jesus' name. That's the world we're living in. And then they say, oh, I got the one key. Then how in the world are you going to get the other key? You don't even know who Jesus is. You're not even up under someone that has the mind to want to wait. Because they want to be able to go and mark a calendar or give a report or go on the television or on the radio or on social media and gloat and say, how many people got saved today? Such and such went down in the water, came up out the water, speaking in tongues. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where is the tarrying? Are you saying? I'm not saying a person can't receive the Holy Ghost coming about the water. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, just because that happens that one time, don't look for it to happen all the time. Something is wrong with every time you take somebody down in the water, every person is coming up speaking in tongues. Where is the tarrying? Where is the reverence? Where are you fulfilling that part of the scripture?
Thank you.
And even once those that come up out the water speaking in tongues, where are you encouraging them? Come on to the altar. Call on his name. Well, I got the Holy Ghost. You still need the name. I've been saved for over 30 something years. I still have to get on my knees and call on his name. Every now and then, I got to get down there like I don't even have the Holy Ghost. I got to suppress every little thought in my mind. Even when the tongue come out, I still got to go back to the name. Why? Because the name is my salvation. There is no salvation in what? Any other. There's no other what? Name. Does anybody understand that? This is nothing to play games with. You need the name of Jesus to deliver you from you. That no good thing will run rampant in you. Make you walk around thinking you got something that you don't have. When the Lord is looking at you, he doesn't see you on his heel. Amen. At the end of the day, that's all you need to worry about. What does Jesus see? When he looks at me, where does Jesus see me at? He that have clean hands and the pure. I'm done. Y'all close your book. We'll get a little bit more in this next week. He that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our what? His salvation. Lift up your heads. Is that what is that? This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face what? How should the Lord tells us how to seek him, right? He said, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with what? That's how you seek Jesus. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's how you seek Jesus. People that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and do what? Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. That's how you seek Jesus. You need another example? That woman that lost that coin. Huh? She searched her house all during the day. And when she didn't find it during the day, she lit a candle at night. That means that she was not going to stop seeking until she found what she was looking for. That's how you seek the Holy Ghost. You got to really hunger and thirst after this. Then the Lord will do what he'll fill you. Right? But it starts with whose desire? Lord, it starts with your desire. It's not a joint thing. Not a joint thing. That's why the Lord can say, save yourself. Mother don't want to be saved. Father, sister, brother, husband, wife. Save who? Yourself. Why? Because you're going to stand before Jesus by who? Yourself. He's going to call you into the judgment by yourself. Right? Well, I thought 20 people died all at one time. Each one of them went into the judgment by themselves, right? Isn't that something? Each one of them stood before the righteous judge by themselves, right? Each one of them crossed into eternity somewhere. If they didn't have Jesus, you best believe, according to the scripture, they died, was buried. So say when they stopped breathing on this side, they opened up their eyes. Where? Huh? Scripture said they were, the rich man says, my soul is being what? Tormented. He didn't go to purgatory. He didn't have to wait in line. You know how you see those pictures?
Hey,
Everybody wait in line. Wait for your name. That ain't how it works. That ain't how it works.
It's not how it works. What the writer says, it's a blinking. So you blink, you know how you blink? That's just how fast you transition from this state to the next state. Huh? Even while it's amazing because people be all in the hospital. Them doctors be working, and they don't even realize that soul has already moved on. People be sitting there talking to, oh, such, you such, I know you smiling. That soul is already where it is. You be rubbing. But that soul, everybody understand that? You see, so don't be fooled. Don't say, hold up. Just tell them, hold on a little while longer till I just got to get here. For what? Just because I'm there, that's not going to stop Jesus. Just because I lay my hands and pray for him, that's not going to change Jesus. Lord said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, huh? You got to have the Holy Ghost when you take your last breath. Everybody understand that? You got to have the Holy Ghost when you take your last breath. You got to be born of both what? Water and Spirit. When you take your last breath. Hold on. Get the priest to say the last rites. You got to be born of both what? Water and Spirit. When you take your what? That's why Jesus says it's only going to be a few. Don't be caught up into the numbers things. Just make sure you're one of the few that'll go back with the Lord Jesus, right? Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not sin against Jesus.